to Standing Rock, New Mexico, to the Navajo Reservation. It was a tremendous blessing. I think we've gone nearly 30 times. But on the way back, we would always do something fun. And I'll never forget the first class that said, let's go to Colorado Springs. There's a lot of neat things in Colorado Springs. And one class said, yes, and Brother Francine, they do bike rides on Pikes Peak. Now, how many of you have ever been to Pikes Peak? Okay. 14,200 and some odd feet. And maybe Carrie or Brian, one of you could remind me. I can't remember what class it was. But anyway, Brother Francine, everything will be okay. It's downhill. You know? And so you take the cog railway up to the top. Need experience. And it's always cold up there. We would go in the fall usually. And it was always bitterly cold. And they would bring the bikes up. And you'd get all filled out. And you'd get your helmet on. And they had a couple of guides. One would be at the beginning, one at the end. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm old, but I can go downhill, right? Who can't go downhill on a bike, right? And so here we go. And we go downhill a little bit. And then, are you aware that not everywhere going downhill is truly downhill? And you're up at 14,000 feet. And the air isn't quite what it used to be down where I'm used to. And so you get down to this spot, and all of a sudden, you're pedaling up a hill. I remember the first time I did it, confession, I had to get off and walk part of the way going up the hill. But then you think, oh, good, I got that over with. No more problem. Then you get on the other side and you go downhill just to find out what? There's another uphill section. Who's gone? Miss Barry, did you go on that? Am I telling the truth? Yeah, she knows. Anybody else done it? And you say, Brother Francine, what's that got to do with carnality? Everything. Don't you find the Christian life is just like that? If you got saved and somebody said, it's downhill all the way, just get on and enjoy the ride, you've been deceived. The Christian life is a war. It is a struggle. It is difficult. It is painful. It doesn't eliminate the problems in life, but praise God, it does provide the answers, and we do have a God who helps us get through. Would you say amen to that? Absolutely. So I want us to think this morning, to begin with, not from this text, we're going to get to 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9 here in just a minute, but what makes the Christian journey difficult? I think the answer comes in three words: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Would you agree? The world is those external things, all the pressures, the temptations, the allurements, the advertisements, everything out there. There is not a friend to grace in the world. Do you understand that? There's no friend to grace. Nobody out there in the world living for themselves is trying to help you get to heaven. We sang about heaven today. They're not trying to help you. They're not trying to encourage you to get in your word, in the Word of God. So you've got all those external factors. The other problem is our flesh. Now, we're not talking about skin here. We're talking about the old nature. He calls it carnality here, okay? And we're going to look at that in more depth in just a minute. But the flesh lusteth against the spirit. The flesh is constantly wanting its own way. Would you agree with that? Man, we all can see it. Paul said it in Romans 7 and other places. It speaks of it very clearly. Then you got the devil. And you know what the devil loves to do? He loves to make the world look attractive and the flesh look weak. And he wants us to, as James says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither... Neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So the devil loves to connect the world and the flesh. And what we want to look at this morning is how can we deal with carnality? Carnality. I think it's so very, very important that you and I understand Paul. Notice here in chapter 3, it says, and I, what's the next word? Brethren. Brethren. Do you realize that the brethren there is a term of love, affection, and equality? Paul is writing to believers. This is not a letter to lost people. It might have lost implications in it, but the letter's purpose, and certainly 1 Corinthians 3, is written to people like you and I if you put your trust in Jesus Christ. So I want us to see that the cause of divisions, and that's the big topic that Paul has been dealing with here in these first chapters, the cause of divisions is carnal Christians. And notice he says in verse 1, he could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Now, that word spiritual has lots of application. If you were to talk to a worldly person and you would talk to them about the spirit world, they would be talking about the occult. They would be talking about things like that. But when you and I are talking about it, we typically mean one of two things. If we say, oh, that's a spiritual person, we usually mean that's somebody who's been born again, put their trust in Jesus Christ. But in the context here, Paul is using it in the aspect of being spiritual or mature, walking in the Spirit, not being fleshly, or as he says it here, not being a babe in Christ. So these characteristics that were, or this cause that we're talking about, becomes very, very important for us to think about. Notice that word here in verse 1, unto you as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ. That word carnal is the idea of controlled or characterized by the soul, a carnal person. A spiritual person is one who is controlled or characterized by the Spirit of God. And so the important thing here to see is that Paul is wanting them to see that they are carnal. That's sometimes hard, isn't it? Can you imagine? Now, by the way, remember the context here? Paul had been at this church for a year and a half. He'd won a number of them to Christ. He had built a church in the city of Corinth, a very wicked place. We talked about when we started this, it'd be like starting a church in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's the kind of implication that Paul was dealing with here with the Corinthian believers. And you remember that after a year and a half, Paul left. He is writing now, roughly 4.5 to 5 years later, he's writing this letter. And you remember that he's writing this letter to them because a faithful family in the church at Corinth, Chloe's family, it tells us there earlier on in the chapter 1, was a family that reported that there was this carnality going on. And Paul says, I believe it. You know why he believed it? Because he experienced it. We all experience carnality, don't we? Now, that shouldn't excuse anything. We're not looking for excuses today. We're looking for cures. But there was a tremendous aspect of carnality. So really, what Paul has done for us in these first three chapters is identify three groups of people. Natural man, remember that in chapter 2? The natural man knows not the things of God. The natural man pictures what? A lost person. We were all lost at one time. Didn't know our way. Spiritually discerned. Couldn't figure out what's right, what's wrong. Little or no guilt, conviction, any of those things. Living to please who? Ourselves. But then Paul talks about spiritual people, believers, people that have put their trust in Jesus Christ. Now in chapter 3, Paul is doing a very important thing. He's saying, yep, remember over here, you were natural, sinful, wicked, evil, all the bad things, here's what you were. But in Christ Jesus, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things are become new. But now he says, I want to remind you of something. You can be a believer and be carnal. Isn't that what he's saying? Hey, church, you can be in church today, sitting right here, right now, and have carnal thinking. You could have come to church and left that parking lot out there and did something very carnal. Does that make sense? Very fleshly. In fact, a carnal person is just a saved person who's acting like a lost person. That is really what is going on here. And I think what's important to understand is this. And have you heard these terms? Positional salvation and practical salvation. That's theologian terms for positionally, Paul is saying, you are in Christ Jesus. Can anything separate us from the love of God? Nothing. We are eternally secure if we're a genuine believer in Jesus Christ. But practically, we might not always act like we're saved. I had a dear man come to me in the last couple of weeks, and he said, Pastor, you know, when we had church divided, you preached to the men on gentleness. He said, I should have known that once I heard that message about gentleness, I would be tested with my wife about being gentle. And he was so humble and contrite, he said, I want to confess to you that I haven't been gentle in everything I've said and done, but I want you to know I've made it right with my wife. We can all be carnal, can't we? Carnal in our homes, carnal at church. Some of you teach here at our church. Realize godly teachers, spiritually minded teachers can be carnal. We've got a number of deacons sitting in here. You realize, deacons, you can be carnal as a deacon. Hey, pastor, you realize as the pastor of this church, you can be carnal? How do you know, brother? Been there, done that. Not proud of it one bit. Paul's saying here, isn't he? Very clearly, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual or mature, but as the carnal, even as unto babes. Spiritual people understand that we need that Holy Spirit and this Word of God every day if we're going to walk in the Spirit. Would you agree? We need it on a daily basis. Can't lose our salvation. Positionally, we are saved for eternity. But practically, we can act just like the world. Just like the world. And at any time we do that, we are being carnal, and this text is telling us that we're there. I don't know about you, but I don't like to admit carnality. And yet, that's one of the things that Paul is saying here. I wish you were living practically like you know you're living positionally in Christ. Carnal. The idea is fleshly. In fact, when you look that word up in the Strong's Concordance, you'll even get the idea of unregenerate, acting like a lost person. So he's saying, Corinthians, you are acting like lost people. But you're saved. What in the world is wrong? In fact, Romans 8 says it this way. Remember when we memorized Romans 8? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Do you realize what that's saying? Is that when you and I don't admit our carnality and we don't confess our carnality, we're only going to breed more carnality? That makes sense to you? If you're carnal out in that car driving up to church, don't think by walking through the door all of a sudden you become spiritual. Confess that carnality out there. Deal with it. Deal with it right now. We're going to get the invitation at the end. I'll just tell you ahead of time what it's going to be. You find any carnality in your life right now? This is the time to deal with it. Deal with it. He says, did you notice what also he said in verse 1? Even as unto babes in Christ. I think another important truth is this. A new believer is a babe in Christ. But a 30-year-old believer could also be a babe in Christ. How could that be? It'd be very simply that they put their trust in Jesus Christ but never got themselves into the Word of God, got themselves into church, found accountability, found how important it is to daily confess our sin and deal with our carnality, and we can be a babe. You know what? If John Varis and Anya and Joe and Emily went to the nursery today to get their little ones, we would expect those little ones, Emerald and Nate, to act like what? Babies, because they are. We went down to the teen group, or we went to one of the adult Sunday school classes, we wouldn't expect us to act like they act in the nursery. Would you agree? That's what Paul is saying here. You are acting like immature Christians. You know better, but you're not thinking better and doing better in your lives. They, as I told you, it had been 4.5 years, by all accounts, that Paul had left. You say, well, I think they were still babes in Christ because after Paul left, who could follow him in the pastorate? I'll tell you who, a guy named Apollos. And Apollos was quite the orator and quite the Bible scholar. And he continued to minister to those people. You know, I'd like to blame the pastors in my life for my carnality, but it won't work. Won't work. I'd like to blame my school teachers or my Sunday school teachers. Or I'd like to blame my mom and dad. Or I had an older brother. Let's blame him. That isn't it, is it? Paul's saying you can't blame anybody else. You are carnal, you are fleshly, you are a babe. Peter says this, as babes desire the sincere milk of the word, not to stay there, but that ye may grow thereby. He wants them to grow. Fleshly desires, carnal desires, drive away spiritual growth. In fact, right before that verse in 1 Peter 2:2 is 1 Peter 2:1. And it says, lay aside all evil. What do you have to lay aside today, I wonder, in your life? Well, notice here that the carnality found itself in the way they were divided up. We've already looked at this some, but it showed up in, and there's a number of terms here that we want to look at. Envy, strife, division. Envy, strife, and division. Those are the characteristics of division. That's what Paul is addressing here when he says that he wants them, in verse 3, by the way, he says, ye are yet carnal. He's saying in verse 3, you were spiritual. You let carnality come in. You let carnality stay. And you're yet carnal. Here I'm having to write this letter to you. Don't you think when Paul wrote this letter, he was thinking about all of the victorious salvations? Do you remember what it was like when you first got saved? Do you remember when you understood what Jesus Christ had done for you? And you chose to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, what joy it brings. Oh, what peace. Again, it doesn't eliminate all the problems coming up, but it gives us a settledness, a joy, a peace that only genuine believers can really experience. And now he says, haven't been there for 4.5 years, but I'm writing to you, and what I know is you're carnal. Here are the characteristics of division. We looked at the cause of division. Paul is addressing here is carnality. The characteristics of division comes in, I listed 4 of them. Envy literally means heat, negative zeal, unfavorable zeal. It's a horizontal focus. It's comparison built. Envy, strife, the word means wrangling, quarreling, contentious. Division means a total lack of unity. And then you notice what he says, verse 4, he said something similar back in 1 and 2. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not, what's the word? You're carnal. What were they saying? They were saying, oh, I got saved by Paul. Paul baptized me. Oh, I got saved by Apollos. He dealt with me. Man, have I grown under Apollos. He has been such a help to my spiritual life. Isn't it amazing how Satan can take the good things in our lives, and if we get wrapped up in ourselves and start comparing, how it can turn into carnality? That's exactly, hero worship is what they were doing, worshiping man. In fact, you remember with me in Romans chapter 1, one of the terrible indictments that God makes against carnal lost people is they worship and serve the creature more than the creator, more than the creator. Envy, strife, division, hero worship. All symptoms of carnality. Now let me say one other thing. Carnality is like cancer. It's the big word that describes the big problem, but we all know that there are all different kinds of cancer. There are all different kinds of carnality. Paul is not saying the only thing that's carnal is envy, jealousy, strife, and division. He's not saying that's all there is. He's saying that those are some of the outward evidences of a carnal heart. Our anger is carnal. Our fear is carnal. Our criticism, our harshness, our jesting, they're all carnal. The list is long, isn't it? The list is mighty long. But he wants them to see that they are carnal. He wants them to see specifically how they have allowed envy and strife and division, hero worship, to come into the Corinthian church and caused all kinds of problems. You know, one thing the world loves to do is put on the news and in the newspaper when a church is acting carnal. Don't they? By the way, they probably should. I'm not saying they're bad for doing that, but I'm just saying that what a blight, what an indictment against a group of people that should be walking in the Spirit, loving God supremely. But that brings me to the final thing. What is the cure for divisions? I want you to notice something here. A couple of things under the cure. In verse 5, Paul says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. You know what that word there is? Ministers? Diakonos? What English word do we get? Deacon. What's a deacon? What's a deacon?
Servant.
Servant, right? A servant. In fact, if you look this up, the original Greek usage of that word literally means in our day and age, it would be called busboy. Busboy. What's a busboy do? Cleans the table off after people have eaten, gets it ready for the next group of people to eat, wouldn't you say? You realize what Paul's saying? There's only one title that any of us should have, and it's servant. I better talk to myself again. Maybe the title ought not to be, "Hey, Pastor Francine." You know what it should be? "Hey, busboy Francine." Are you a deacon?
Sir.
"Hey, busboy Chris." Paul Alexander, I saw him somewhere here. He teaches in another adult class. Teacher Alexander, no, busboy Alexander. And I'm not trying to be, isn't that what Paul's saying here? He's saying, what in the world are you doing? We are enamored by titles, aren't we? The world for sure is. But as Christians, we ought not to be enamored by title. We ought to be humbled by what God wants us to do. Hey, there's nothing attractive about going to a table where people have eaten. All you moms know that. By the way, dads, do you help clean up at home? Hope you do. Take care of the chores at home. I've never been a waiter at a restaurant, but particularly when I'm with my grandkids, I sometimes tip the waiter based on how much work they're going to have to do from the mess that's left from us being there. You know what I'm talking about? Wow, can kids make a mess at a table? You think congregations can make a mess? Deacons, you think you can make a mess?
Yeah.
Hey, pastor, you think you can make a mess? Answer, yes. Yeah, we can. That's what Paul's saying here. You want to cure carnality? If you really want to cure carnality, you better understand what your position is in Christ Jesus and act accordingly. I don't know about you, but I've been to a lot of very nice cities. Maybe the epitome might be Washington, D.C. They have statues everywhere. And I can't say I've checked it all out, but I don't think there's one statue of a busboy in Washington, D.C. Famous generals? Mm-hmm. Presidents? Mm-hmm. Busboys? Not a one. Not a one. Nothing really attractive about being a busboy. Who's signing up, huh? Christians should be signing up. Isn't that what Paul's saying here? Please, I want to say what Paul is saying. Who then is Paul? Hey, who am I? Who's Apollos? I'll tell you what we are. We're bus boys. All we did is bus to you and bring to you what you needed there to believe. The Lord's the one that allowed us to do that. The Lord gave to every man. One of us planted, one of us watered. But I want you to notice, here's the other cure for division and carnality. I underlined it in my Bible. End of verse 5, the Lord gave. The end of verse 6, but God. The middle of verse 7, but God. Middle of verse 9, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. If you and I want to get rid of our carnality, we have to first of all recognize that it's carnal. It's not spirit-led, it's not spirit-controlled, it's not Bible-based, it's not what would Jesus do, it's what would I want to do, what would please me. Make sense? Secondly, you want to realize that carnality isn't some private thing that just exists in our heart. It starts there, but carnality always shows its what? Ugly face. That's why Paul had to write to the Corinthians. They were destroying the church. Can you imagine what those worldly Corinthians were thinking, looking at this church that Paul had established, seeing the strife and division, the quarreling, the wrangling, the hero worship that was going on? My, how grievous, how grievous. But God, but God. Brother Francine, I want you to know I've been here a long time. I was instrumental in giving. I was instrumental in helping build this church back in 1991 and 92. But God. Huh? Some plant, some water, but what? God gives the increase. Carnality is taking our eyes off of ourselves and putting our eyes on Jesus Christ. Would you agree? How vitally important it is. No comparing of ministers, no comparing of evangelists, no comparing of musicians. If you and I want to cure our carnality, it'll be because we do what? We acknowledge we're just a busboy. And we acknowledge that it's all about what God has done. Aren't you glad for what God has done? Yeah, boy, the older I get, the more I think about, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done. So here's the question this morning. Did you spot any carnality in your life? Envy? Strife, division, pride, anger, covetousness, fear. Maybe you've got another name to add to the list. I don't know. Paul's saying, Corinthians, see your carnality and cure your carnality. The new bulletin boards that we put up around the building for this year, speaking the truth in love. You know what Paul was doing here? Speaking the truth in love. Carnality is a terrible blight to a Christian church. Carnality is a terrible thing when 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80-year-olds are acting carnal, and they've been saved for 30, 40, 50 years. Would you agree? That's what Paul's trying to help us with. All of us. Lord, I want to be a busboy today. I want you to get all the glory. I want to point to the cook. Not to me cleaning the table off. And the cook is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that made it all, did it all. That's what Paul's saying here. I love that last verse 9 that we read. For we are laborers, what's the next word? Together, again, with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. No matter how you want to look at us, I don't know, not the most endearing terms. He's saying you're either a busboy, you're a field, or you're an old building. Seems like that's what Paul's saying here. But let's be laborers together with God and be the best field, the best busboy, and the best building we can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together, can we? Father, I thank you this morning for